about to start the next sugya, so today we will cover more ground than we have the entire year, because we just skipped two blot, okay? So we're in the bottom of the Chesem and Aleph now. Everyone should learn the two blot in between, the beautiful, every Maimon Chazal is always important. It's mostly Agadat of these two blots, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. Hopefully we're going to now begin the next major, major sugya, which, the sugya is the sugya Motzi Shemra, but the sugya really begins to encompass many, many other things, which almost doesn't end until Yudam and Aleph, so this will take us hard to exactly, but I would say well into the beginning of next semester. So these next couple of sugyas. So the sugya begins in Motzi Shemra. Going back to our Mishnah, so the Mishnah discusses when you need 3 dayanim, when you need 20 dayanim, because the basic principle being Dina Mamonos B'Shloisha. You should all know that by now. If you know how to read the top of the page of the Gemara, it says Dina Mamonos B'Shloisha. So 3 dayanim for Dina Mamonos, then Dina Fashin, of course, require 23. These are Dina Deraisa, Gzerasa Kosa, all based on Sukkim. Every once in a while, you find a case where it's not crystal clear whether this is actual dini mamonos or dini nefashos. There are certain elements, certain aspects, potentially of both. So what should you say? Should you treat that as dini mamonos? Treat it as dini nefashos. So the case that the Torah begin to argue about is the din of Motzi Shemra. Now, Motzi Shemra, whenever you see those words, Motzi Shemra, so your mind begins to go towards the fourth parak of Maseches Ksubis, back to Pesukim and Parshas Kisetze, about the person who's claiming that his wife is not a basula, and there's some kind of a dinter that's taking place, some kind of a sichsuch that's going on, and that's what the Tanaim seems to be discussing. Who sits on this basin of this sichsuch, this fight going on about the situation of a Motzi Shemra? So Rabbi Meir says 3, because it's only dinim amenis. And the Chum say 23, because it's dinim nefashos also. Now, the most difficult part of the sugya is just the pace. Because both the Rebbe and the Rabbanan agree, dinim mamonos b'shlosha. And both the Rebbe and the Rabbanan agree, that dinim nefashos b'esser b'shlosha. So we just have to figure out, well, what are they arguing about? Why is it that there's some kind of a scenario that Rabbi Meir saw as dinim mamonos, and the Chum saw as dinim nefashos? What can possibly be talking about? So the truth is that if you go back to the Chumash of real, pure Motzi Shemra, in the case, Parak Slatz Motzi Shemra, it seems to be an open and shut case that you require 23. Because let's play out Motzi Shemra l'fi ha'psuch, if you're over Pashat Kiseitze, so what happens? A couple gets married, Kikach Yishisho V'aylo Sneya, V'sam Lo Lilo Zdvar Motzi L'Shemra, he walks into Beis Din, and he says, Seisha Hazos L'kachti V'akra V'lev L'matzas L'besulim. Now, he doesn't just say, but the Tosha Rapeh elaborates a little bit upon that, and he really beefs up his case by saying, what? There are Eidim. There's a reason why she's not a Basula. There are Eidim. She was Mazana, and she was Mazana Dafka between the Eresin and the Nesuin. That sounds pretty capital case to me. He's claiming she's a nation, she's a Zinsa. Right? Now, whether this is actually going to become Dina Nefashis or not depends on how the outcome of the case is. If he succeeds in convincing the Beis in this, and there's no way to refute these Eidim, so we got a real classic Din Nefashos on our hands. However, the Torah says, not so simple. Sometimes, it turns out, wait a second, that this guy lying. The Eidim are lying. The Eidim may have even been disaster of disasters, what? Eidim Zevimin. And now what happens? All of a sudden, everything switches. The tables are turned. He's no longer trying to get her killed. Somebody else may get killed over here. Not him. Who may get killed over here? The Eidim, the Amzonim, may get killed. In addition to the Amzonim, maybe and maybe not getting killed, something else is about to happen. What's that something else? He's about to have to pay a serious amount of money. The Unshur Son Mea Kesef, he's going to have to pay 100 shekel and have to stay married to her. So a lot of things are flying here. So when we speak about Motzi Shemra, are we talking about the husband claiming that his wife is Chayav Misa? Is it the Eidim Hamazimin claiming that the Amzonim is Chayav Misa? Is it the father of the girl who's claiming that the husband owes him 100 shekel? So the whole thing is up in the air. We can't quite put our fingers on what's the case that the Tanaim are arguing about. But one thing is clear, that if there really is potential here for Dina Nefashos, then the Rabbi Meir Sheet doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Meir says, Shloisha, it's only Dina Mamonos. Rabbi Meir cannot be addressing the Motzi Shemra Parshas Kiseitze. It can't be, because the Motzi Shemra Parshas Kiseitze is clearly Dina Nefashos. He's claiming she's Chayav Misa. They're claiming the Eidim are Chayav Misa. There's some Chayav Misa here. The fact that there's also potential for the Dinamamonis, that's not going to knock it down. If you have a Din Torah that is both, you're not going to knock it down to 3. So there's something fishy in this sugya, something very, very strange in here. Just the Machlekes Tataran, just the way the Rishna presents it as the Machlekes Remain the Rabbanan, is impossible to understand Kipshuto. There's something going on in between the lines here. So that's where the Gemara picks up from. The Gemara says, what's going on? What's the case? Give me a case. So the Gemara starts to pilpul with why it happens to be that right now there's really no Din Nefashos. And that's what Rabbi Meir says to be is enough. And the Chama concern, something's going to happen down the line that's going to be some kind of a problem that's going to make us rethink the need for 23 and maybe get the 23 in right now, and the Gemara goes on for a whole tangent what that issue is. But the one thing that's crystal clear from the sugya is that the Bechayis Rav Meir and the Ravan cannot be referring just simple, straight and forward about the Shem Rav Pashki says. So it's at this point where Rashi begins to enter into the sugya. And Rashi just draws out for us what the case is. Forget about why it should be 3-1, it should be 23, why, yeah, no, last, furnish, Rashad, forget all the details. He's giving me the case. Well, who's taking who to a din Torah about what? So Rashi says, what are we going to tell you? You got it all wrong. This is not the Motzi Shem of Pashas Kiseitze, because the husband is not even claiming that his wife's Chayav Misa. He has no idea what she's Chayav Misa, huh? You know why? Because he's not even bringing what?
Edom.
He's not even bringing Edom. So without Edom, so then this case is going nowhere. In capital case, absolutely nowhere. So if there are no Edom, what's he doing? The answer says Rashi, this guy learned Subas last year. He learned the first graphic Subas. He remembers that there's a sugya back and aftas and back and afyud that a husband could walk into Beis in the morning after the wedding and say, my wife is not a basula. And I'm not interested in doing what? In paying what?
Mitzvah.
Paying suba. I don't want to remain married to her. The whole thing was a mistake. I'll give her a gift, but I'm not paying the suba. Or at least I'm not going to pay the suba for basula, whatever. That's already a detail in the first round of subas. But I'm not paying 200 zuz fish. She's not a basula. But there are no Edim, because man, if there are Edim, then we may be into Din Nefashos. We don't want to be Din Nefashos yet. So comes Rashi and says, the entire sugya b'tchilah v'yatzayit is that there's no claim of Din Nefashos, because there are no Edim anyway. The only claim that's taking place here is pure, plain and simple Din Emunos. He's claiming that she is not going to be entitled to the ksuba because she's not a basula. When did she not become a basula? He has no idea. Whether it was before he was saying, he has no clue, couldn't care less. He just wants to know he's not paying Torah Zuz. That's all that interests. That's his goal of coming to Beis Din the next morning. That's the sugya of Mitzvah Shemra, as appears in Sanhedrin Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Nothing at all to do with Parshas Ki Tzeitzei's Mitzvah Shemra. That's Rashi's fundamental yisoid in the entire sugya. Now, once we have the fundamental yisoid, then you got to touch up, the rough edges of the yisoid, the rough edges of the pshat. So if there's no claim of Din Nefashos, so then why would anybody think that you need 23 Dayanim? Why would there be any need for 20 Dayanim? So Rav Meir is right. What is the Chum talking about? What does Rashi say? It's the first round of the Gemara. What does Ula say? We're afraid that something may happen. You know what may happen? Right now there are no Edim. But you know what? Open up a can of worms. You never know who's going to show up. So once word gets out that Reuben's taking Rachel to a Din Torah to try to not pay the ksuba because he suspects that something's funny going on, before he knows it, two Edim are going to walk at the base and say, guess what? We'll tell you exactly why she's not a basula, because last week when she was in Arusa, she was Mazana. That's trouble. That's going to spell a Din Torah of how many Dayanim? That's going to mean 23 Dayanim. That's a whole different ball game. So come to Chachavim and say that maybe that was a grounds to insist on 23 Dayanim. Maybe when we start the case, let's start off with 23 Dayanim. That's what Rashi explains. Rabbi Meir wasn't afraid of that, and the Rabbanu wasn't afraid of that. Rabbi Meir saw the Ein Chazin Las. Ein Chazin Shem Chashia Vayil Lebeiz Din V'yeti HaKol Yishmu Eid Din V'yavol V'yayidish Yizin Tetachtav V'yachshiv and Abal Yadeben V'tiboy Chav Gimel V'shem Yavol Adei Din Nefashos. Rabbi Meir says, yes, man, it's not going to happen. Rabbanu Tzavi Chashin Chashin. Yep, you better believe it. We are Chashish. And then Rabba the Ben Rigir says, tones it down a little bit and says, no, just Tom to be Chayshish in the middle of nowhere. He doesn't think there are any Edim. We ask him, we have any Edim? He has no Edim. To be Chayshish Me'atzimain, that maybe Edim is going to show up tomorrow, that's unlikely. Lo Chashin in the last, says Rabba. So why the Rabbanan say me 23? A whole nother story, a whole chagad over here, that the husband said, he walks to the Beis Din fuming the day after the wedding, says, I got Eidim, I'm not going to bring Eidim, that she's Mazana, whoo! So Beis Din hears, there are Eidim on the way. What do they go? They go bring in the extra troops. They sit down with 23 Dayanim. And then what happens? The guy was what?
Lying.
He's lying. He's bluffing. Turns out, Eidim, in fact, I can't find the Eidim, I'm busy, they left, he doesn't have any Eidim. So Beis Din's about to close up shop. What does he say to them? What does he say? Well, I still want to get rid of this ksuba. I don't hate them, but I still give me ksuba stuff, test stuff you to work with. Now, at that point, is there any reason to have 23 dayanim?
No.
But at that point, objective is no reason to have 23 dayanim. Is there some tangential reason to maybe insist on keeping 23 dayanim? Maybe. Yeah. You know why?
It's very
embarrassing. We brought in 23 dayanim. These guys haven't done anything for the last 20 years. They spent 20 years learning Chayshim Mishpat, 20 years learning Dinei Nefashos. All of a sudden, they got smicha in Dinei Nefashos. This is their big day. They've been waiting for 30 years. 70 years we haven't had a case of Dinei Nefashos. Mishnah Bachas. They're waiting finally to do Dinei Nefashos. We line them up already, and then we say, okay, you 20 guys go home. We just, the three guys stay behind. So it's Mamash B'Zoyin. B'Zoyin HaTorah. Give them something to do. Make them feel they earned their smicha and Dayanus or something. All right, so we'll let them sit along. And Ramey says, no, he'll go back to college. We'll live for another 70 years. For the next Nefashos. So according to Rashi, the Machloikis from the day of the Chachamim is so tangential. It's so not critical in terms of the real case. This is Dinei Mamonis through and through. There's not a shred of Dinei Nefashos here. Not a mash of Dinei Nefashos here. And that's exactly what Rabbi Meir says. There's no need for 23 Dayanim. And even the Chum who says you need 23, it's either because we're afraid maybe it'll become Dinei Nefashos, maybe it'll be embarrassing to the Dayanim. There's all tangential reasons. But Dinei Nefashos, it's not. But the Yisrael according to Rashi is the real Din Torah that's taking place on the page in Sanhedrin of Chesem and Aleph has nothing to do with Matisheh and Parsha Yisrael. It has nothing to do with Eidim Zayim, nothing to do with Din Nefashos. It's pure, simple, plain and simple Din Nefashos. We got to be Hefzid HaKsuba. Hopefully from tomorrow we'll have to see why Tosfos did not go down the route of Rashi. Tosfos came with a whole razzle dazzle, another shot in the Ever-Bed-Tam in the Gemara. But what they rejected about Jesus Rashi, hopefully from tomorrow.